were to win against Texas Tech, they would probably end up being 5-2. I do not see them beating Texas Tech. There's no way they beat. Everybody wants to point to that second half against Texas Tech and how K-State almost came back. I want to point to the first half and how they were completely inept and you know, it just there's no way they beat Texas Tech at home. You can record this, tape it, play it whenever they do it and prove me wrong, but I don't see that at all.
That was Riley Gates, our Wildcat insider. Go Powercat. Join us last week and every Tuesday, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and also by Heineken Electric. You remember saying that last week, Riley?
Wait, I got to give you the tip of the hat. You're really good with, you know, taking bits and pieces of things I've said over the years and piecing them together, making it look like I said something that I probably didn't say.
Now you sound like Now you sound like an athlete saying that, or a coach. Well, what I said was taken out of context.
Look how wrong I am, man. I should honestly just keep doing this week after week.
Yeah,
K-State might go 16-2.
Yes, this has been entertaining so far. Well, here's the thing: you're not wrong yet. I mean, they got to play tonight, or if Tech wins, then you look really brilliant, and I can play it back, and you'd be right. But if K-State wins tonight, you would be wrong, but you told me last week you'd be happy to be wrong. Here we go, big opportunity for K-State. Who would have thunk it? A few weeks ago, K-State's 0-2, down 21 in the second half to West Virginia at home. And everybody's sitting there going, okay, he's going to roll to a Big 12 title. K-State has no chance to win the Big 12. And now, a couple weeks later, K-State's 4-2. If they beat Texas Tech at home tonight, they would be tied atop the Big 12 standings with Kansas through seven games with 11 to play. I guess it goes to show you, me, and everybody else out there, don't jump too quickly off the boat or off the bandwagon, because things can change in a hurry.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's a lot of it. And I also think at the same time, though, I don't think we were inaccurate. I don't think we were wrong in maybe saying the things we said through those first two or three games. I mean, this wasn't as simple as getting Dean Wade back on the floor. You know, this wasn't as simple as just having one guy out, and once you got him back, everything was going to click. I mean, this is a struggling team that was even struggling to do what they did well, and that's defense. You know, the defense was not playing well. On top of the offense being among the worst in the country, I really don't think, like I said, I don't think this is about adding one piece or changing one thing. I think this is simply about getting better. I don't think this was a very good team to start the year, and through the first, 14 games or whatever, I don't think I was wrong in a lot of the things I said.
I agree with you.
I think they've simply improved. I think it goes a lot to show the type of coaching job that Bruce Weber's done. I think he's done a phenomenal job with this group. And, you know, something tells me, I don't want to start rumors, but something tells me there was some risk, I guess, is the word you probably want to use, in the locker room. You know, maybe certain guys kind of trying to make this their team and kind of maybe about them, and then they kind of step back and realize that's not what got them to being successful last season. That's not what wins them games. And, you know, I say that because of what Dean Wade said. You know, and he said in the postgame that they're playing for the name on the front now and not the name on the back. And I think there was a little bit of that there. And this looks like a lot better team to me now, and certainly through a four-game winning streak, I think that's kind of proven.
Well, and I think that's what happens when you have to embrace and deal with unexpected success. I mean, even K-State, I don't think, expected, even the players themselves, expected to be in the Elite Eight last year. And I don't know if they expected from that point forward to be one of the favorites to win the Big 12 this year and be KU's biggest challenger. And you and I talked about it during the offseason that it's different when you're the hunted instead of being the hunter. K-State's getting team's best shot because Dean Wade is the Big 12 preseason player of the year. He gets a lot more attention. K-State, everybody saw them make the Elite Eight last year. Whether you want to argue that it was a little fluky because of who they played, that's up to you. It's your prerogative. But the bottom line is they did. And I think maybe there's just had to been that adjustment period, and that would make some sense based on what you're saying. Guys maybe trying to do too much individually or more about themselves early on, and then they finally realize, listen, we got to go back to the formula that got us to the Elite Eight in the first place.
Yeah, that, and I think, you know, speaking more as constructive criticism than anything, I don't know if Bruce Weber's all that great of a coach when it comes to taking a team that has tons of success and building upon that, you know, keeping them at that level before they kind of get knocked down a peg and he has to rebuild them. I mean, he's really good at doing that part of it, you know, refocusing his team and getting them back on the same page, back on the same picture. But we kind of saw this at Illinois. You know, he was Big Ten, you know, top however many schools in the Big Ten. He was making the national championship game, and then the Illini fell off the map. So, you know, I think maybe he struggles a little bit with that. And to his credit, he doesn't have the teams that a Bill Self has every year. You know, he's not expected to be there all the time, so maybe it is a little bit foreign language to him. But like I said, to his credit, he's done a phenomenal job of regrouping teams at times and getting them back on the right track. And, you know, I think it's really good that they're not wasting, you know, now. They could easily lose their next two or three games, and we could be right back where we were two weeks ago talking about this team. But I think it's really good that they've hit this regroup button and kind of pieced it back together here because, I mean, let's be real, this is the last chance he's going to have to be this solid of a team for a few years at least. I mean, it's going to be mm-hmm. quite the rebuild when you lose these three seniors. And if you had missed the mark and swung terribly and missed on this one, that's a pretty bad mark on your resume moving forward. So a lot of credit to Bruce Weber. I don't know if he gets enough of it because of Dean Wade's return, but he's certainly done a really good job.
Wildcat insider Riley Gates, our guest from Go Power Cat, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company every Tuesday here on the Sports Ticket. You know, it is amazing how it's a roller coaster, it seems like, with folks that follow Bruce Weber. There's people that respect him but still criticize him, which I think that would be you and me and most people. And there are people that simply think he's a buffoon and he shouldn't be the head coach at K-State and they're tired of this and that. And there's people certainly strongly in his corner. They'll say, listen, he's a great X and O's coach. He doesn't get into the dirty politics in the recruiting, and he has a clean program, so forth and so on. And you look at his resume. He's been successful wherever he's been, and so forth and so on. I get all of that, but here's the thing. You know, before the run in the Big 12 last year, in the Elite Eight, to make it the Elite Eight in NCAA tournament, there are a lot of talk, Bruce Weber's got to go. Everybody wanted Brad Underwood last few years. That didn't happen. Then he's kind of the cat's meow, no pun intended, and K-State comes in the season, and he's worried about Dean Wade getting All-American accolades before the season and so forth and so on in the play hard chart, which is brought up again this year. People make fun of that from time to time. And then he's a buffoon again because K-State's struggling. They're 0-2 in the Big 12, so forth and so on. And now he's done a really good job of turning it around. You know, it's not really as good as we always think it is, and it's not as bad as we think it is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's a solid coach, a very good coach. You want to say great, that's your opinion. But I would say he's a very good coach that has been successful where he's been, and we seem to just keep riding this roller coaster when we follow K-State men's basketball.
Yeah, you know, I think it's right in that middle part where you kind of mention it, and I think both sides are a little bit guilty. Look, I know some specific K-State fans, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this segment kind of know some people that I'm talking about, but Bruce Weber could go 0-18, and they would want him to be back as the next head coach because he's a great guy,
yeah.
and he does everything right. And then you've got guys that, you know, he could go 14-4 this year and win the Big 12, and outright in NKU Street, and they would say, oh, but, you know, he's so awkward and he doesn't recruit well and things like that. And so, you know, I think it's a lot in the middle, and the biggest argument I think I can come up with that kind of shows how right and yet also how wrong both sides are is his NCAA tournament success. You know, he's been at K-State for 7 years, and he's made the NCAA tournament a lot of times, which would go to discredit the quote-unquote haters. And it would build the argument of, hey, you know, he's a really good coach. He's constantly in the NCAA tournament, with the exception of a few years, and that's what you want. And then on the other side of it, you could say, well, yeah, he's in the NCAA tournament a lot, but he doesn't do a whole lot of winning, and isn't that what the tournament is all about at the end of the day, is winning? And he's only had 1 year where he won a true game in the NCAA tournament, and that was the Elite Eight run. So, yeah, he's probably the most back-and-forth in the middle coach that I think K-State's ever had, that probably a lot of teams have ever had. And I think however long he's around, it's just going to continue to be like that. Look, he's never going to be dominant enough. K-State's never going to win enough games that it gets to the point where he doesn't have some criticism. But it's never, I don't think it's ever going to get to the point where, or at least back to the point again where it was a few years ago, where literally everybody was ready for the next guy. You know, they were pushing him out the door. They were ready for the next coach to come in. So it's not a bad place to be on, I guess. You know, I think it's better to have a consistency where maybe you're not having as much success as you'd like, but you're still a pretty solid team. You're still winning games. But, you know, you're also not losing constantly. You're not looking for a new coach every 2 to 3 years. You're not in a situation like Oklahoma State is where you're dismissing three players and allowing walk-ons to come and try out. I mean, there's a lot worse places to be in for K-State right now.
You know, it seems to me like if I'm Bruce Weber, I'm just sitting here. If I read the press clippings and everything else over the years, I got to sit here and go, I'm darned if I do and darned if I don't. You know, I lead Illinois to the national championship game. Well, that's because I had Bill Self's players, so he doesn't get credit for that from some people. Then he makes the Elite Eight at Kansas State. Well, that's fool's gold because, you know, you didn't have to play Virginia. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he can only play the people he plays. He can only go with the players that's on his roster. He's responsible for recruiting and filling up the bench. I get all that. And it's not his fault that he kept Bill Self's players and he won with them. I mean, why would you turn Deron Williams and other guys away? I mean, you'd keep them, obviously. It just sometimes seems like Bruce Weber, no matter what he does, there's always a, well, but...
Yeah, I mean, there is, but I mean, I think at the same time, it's kind of like, are those criticisms fair against him? Yes and no.
Yes.
I mean, I think you would agree with me there, too, because,
yeah, I
totally agree. Like, I've always told, when everybody said, oh, he only won, really went with the NCAA championship game with Bill Self players, he only won the Big 12 with Frank's players. Those are facts, and he did not back those up with good recruiting, and
true.
So it doesn't help his argument. But then I kind of argue back, okay, well, why didn't Bill Self go to the NCAA championship with those guys? Why didn't Frank Martin win a Big 12 championship with those guys? So, I feel like I'm squarely in the middle on Bruce Weber, you know, and I think that's a good place to be in with a guy like Bruce Weber. He hasn't done enough for you to be 100% fully this big fanboy of him that he doesn't do anything wrong and there's nothing to criticize him about. But he's done enough right that you should say he's a good coach for K-State.
Yeah.
And he probably shouldn't be headed anywhere anytime soon. So, I've always been, with the exception of those 2 seasons where they were, you know, 5-13 and then they were 7-11 or 8-10, whatever the record was in the Big 12 that year. I mean, I was pretty much on one side of the fence, and I think you can guess which one that would be.
Sure.
But other than that, I feel like I've been squarely in the middle on him. I think he's been pretty good for K-State.
Yeah, I would agree with you, totally. He's kind of an enigma, if you want to say. All right,
yeah.
Texas Tech tonight. Are you changing your tune, or are you sticking with what we had in the intro that you said last week, that K-State's not going to beat Texas Tech?
I think I'd give K-State more of a chance if Texas Tech had lost 2 straight games. I think that does not help K-State's chances at all, because I think Chris Beard is – look, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Chris Beard is not that far from being right there as the best coach in the Big 12. Obviously, Bill Self's going to hold that title and just because of pure hardware, and it's going to be tough to dethrone him. But just look at Chris Beard's record. He's been around for 10 years, and he hasn't even lost 100 games. So I think I got to go with Tech. But I think it's going to be a really close-scoring game. I think it's going to be low-scoring, too, because of how good these two defenses are.
All right, let's change the football before we get to the off-the-wall question. Give us the latest on K-State trying to find a new defensive coordinator. They had one lined up. He got an offer to go to the Bears, which he wasn't really necessarily expecting. And now the K-State's trying to find a new DC. What's the latest?
Yep. Ted Modichino is off to the Bears. And, you know, we kind of did confirm that last week. And yesterday we actually broke the news that Wyoming defensive coordinator Scotty Hazleton is in Manhattan, and he's expected to be named the defensive coordinator, we believe, today. We believe K-State will officially announce that one today. And what I'm going to say is sometimes it's better to be lucky and be in the right place than it is to be good. That's all I'm going to say on that. he will be the new defensive coordinator at K-State, and I think it's a really good hire. Wyoming was like 17th in total defense this year. And I think that's pretty telling for a team like Wyoming that didn't have as much success in terms of the win-loss record. So, I honestly think Scotty Hazleton should have been the hire from the start. I don't know this for sure, but something tells me Chris Kleiman didn't necessarily want to poach Craig Bull's defensive coordinator out from under him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that gave him so much at North Dakota State, he didn't necessarily want to take him away. But I think when Chris Kleiman kind of got the rug pulled out from under him, Modichino, I think he said, you know what, I'm going to do what's best for me, what's best for K-State, and I think that's Scotty Hazleton.
Okay, that's the good news for K-State fans. Time for off-the-wall question. The Chiefs, Heartbreak Hotel in the playoffs over the weekend. A lot of people pointing to the D-Ford lining up in the neutral zone as the reason the Chiefs aren't going to the Super Bowl. So, you know, we can point to one play. Chiefs fans have lots of examples. Lynn Elliott missing field goals, Chiefs not forcing a punt in a playoff game, giving up 38-10 lead. All these losses for the Chiefs, heartbreaking, blowing a 21-3 lead last year in the playoffs. But you're a Dallas Cowboy fan mainly, so I'm going to ask you, what's the worst Dallas Cowboy moment for you? What's the most heartbreaking moment for you as a Dallas Cowboy fan? A Cowboy fan, of course, the Cowboys have won all kinds of Super Bowls in their history.
Oh, absolutely. I don't even have to bat an eye about this. Dez caught it. I mean, Dez Bryant caught the ball.
The catch that wasn't a catch.
The catch that wasn't a catch. And the fact that the NFL has come out and ruled, said, yes, he did catch the ball. It was a catch. That's all I need to know. Dez Bryant caught that ball. I knew it when it happened. I knew it the year after. I knew it 3 years after when they ruled it a catch. He caught that ball. They would have beaten the Packers, and God knows what would have happened in those playoffs. I think that was a Super Bowl caliber team.
And that's how the Saints feel after that call went against them, against the Rams.
That was atrocious.
It was
that
horrible.
That was atrocious.
It was bad.
Holy
it was
cow.
Bad. There were bad missed calls before that that went against the Rams as well. It should be pointed out. But it was a really bad missed call at the end of that game. No question about it. Riley would have gotten that one right if he was staying on the sideline. And I would have too. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I know all the rules. I know all the rules for football. I know all the rules for basketball. And Wade, I also need to say this. I know the rules for life, and I know if he's listening right now, Fulton Reams needs to get out of his phone and start paying attention in class. It's the first day of class at 4 days straight, Fulton. Put your phone away.
Riley.
I told him I would tell him to stop listening to me on the radio and to pay attention in class.
We'll see if he was paying attention to what you just said. That's good. That's good stuff. What other advice or whatever else are you working on, Go Power Cat, before we let you go?
Sorry, just had to get that plug in.
Oh, that's funny.
Obviously basketball and football recruiting took off huge yesterday. There was junior day, and literally the best of the best in the state of Kansas, the state of Missouri, was at the Lanier Complex yesterday. Guys for the 2020 class that we talked to some of them in person. And then Ryan Wallace, our recruiting guy, talked to all of them on the phone, has stories up on all these guys, and that's all on the site. It's taken over the website right now, and it's a lot of fun time to be a K-State football fan, I think, because some of these comments show just how exciting this new staff is going to be, I think, for recruiting purposes.
Well, it's fun and it's exciting, and it is also the unknown, and that's what it makes it makes you a little anxious and nervous, but at the same time, fun because new era in Kansas State football. Riley, always appreciate the time. And Colson, make sure you pay attention in class. That's what I gained from this interview. Riley, be safe and go K-State against Tech tonight, especially so we can play back that cut again next week. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thanks, Riley.
Hey, I'm happy to be wrong. Thanks, Lloyd.
All right, buddy. Take care. Riley Gates, Go Power Cat. Read his work, gopowercat.com, and his appearance brought to you each and every week here on The Sports Ticket by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.